last Wednesday when we were speaking, I said, she speaks and he obeys. I didn't mean to say it that. Y'all know what I meant when I said it. I just got my tongue mixed up, and sometimes my tongue and the brain, they don't get in sync. And so I apologize for that. I didn't even know I said it till somebody told me afterwards. And so I'm sorry about that. We know who the boss is, yeah. Man. And we got no problem with it whatsoever. So let's, I think it was last Wednesday's when we talked about faith, and I took it down one side of faith pretty hard. And so there's a lot of quotes that takes it down the other side, or it seems to take it down the other side. And so when you say one side of this and one side of that, there's not two ways that God says something. But a revelation, when we're talking about a revelation, we can talk around it. We can tell you this part of it, that part of it. We can't give you a revelation. Nobody can give you a revelation except God. And so I'm going to read you something tonight where he explicitly says it. And so, but that's not the point. The point is that there's only one way that faith works. There's only one thing that faith is. And no matter how many times he says it and it looks like he's saying this one time, and he says it this time and it looks like he's saying that over here this time, there's only one. There's only one. And the truth is the revelation in the middle. And as ministers, all we can do is talk around it and get under the anointing and talk about it. But God has to give you that. He has to break that into your heart. And so when I say I'm talk around it, I'm talking around the other side of it tonight, or it might seem that way. So I want to point out a few things that he said, especially the message. You'll notice the first message we're on is why Christ speak. And that message, if you just read that through on the surface, you'll go off thinking, you know, as fleshly, then you'll go off thinking, I can just do this and do this and do this. God told me I could. You know, Brother Bram said I could do it. Why Christ speak? He done said this and he done said that. Well, you got to listen to what he said, all of what he said. Brother Bram said things were said a certain way to cause some to go off in one direction and go off in another direction. But we want the love letter. We want the lines in between where he's speaking to us. So let's trust him for that tonight. And let's start in the message, why Christ speak? Now watch what takes place now. Moses saw this by his vision, and Pharaoh said, this is great. And God said, it's an abomination. So Moses chose what God said. So God showed Moses that Egypt and all the power of Egypt and all this thing, that it was an abomination. And Pharaoh tried to tell him it was the greatest thing. So one was appealing to his senses, to his humanness, and the other one was appealing to something else. We'll find out that the only thing God appeals to is his word. Always. He always appeals to his word. And Brother Branham said that from the beginning, back there in the beginning, we read it in Who Is This? Christ is the Mystery of God Revealed, that he had something in the back of his mind. And he was going to do that. And that he's been doing that all along. He's been letting it out. And that is predestination. That is what God intends to do. And if you're a part of God, you're a part of his destiny. You're a part of his predestination. And so he's not doing anything at any time but doing that, bringing his mind to be into existence. And he's not playing a side game. He don't have anything else. He's got a pastime. This is what he does. He makes himself known, and he brings himself into being. That's what his whole purpose is. And so so Moses, by God's anointing, or by God's revelation showed him. God showed Moses what was the truth. Now notice, faith sees what God wants you to see. He's telling us what faith is all about right here. See, faith sees what God sees. Faith don't see anything else but what God sees. So if you got faith, you see what God sees. That's what he just said. And the only way to see that is if you're part of God. That's the only way. And reasoning and senses see what the world wants you to see. Notice reasoning, why it's only human sense. It's only reason that this, well, ain't this just as good, see? That's just exactly when you use these senses, which are contrary to the word. Your senses are contrary to the word. Your reasoning is contrary to the word. See? Then that's what the world wants you to see. But faith don't look at that. Faith looks what God said. See? You know, you cast down reasons. So you deny part of your carnal being. You cast down your reasoning and your senses, and you take what God said. And the only way you could do that, Brother Bram Font says right here, is that the only way you can do that is that predestination that's in you. Watch, he's going to talk about it here. But there is only one real church, and you don't join it. You're born in it, see? And you're born in it. The living God works himself through you. Is that the same thing as faith, seeing what God sees? I believe it is. Living God works himself through you and makes himself known. So who's doing it? God is doing it. It's his predestination. Who predestinated you? God done it. Where was it? It was in his mind. So now he's going to bring it to pass. That don't mean we get to sit down. We'll see where we fit here. That's what God dwells. Where God dwells, in his church. God goes to church every day. That made me chuckle when I read that. You think about that. God goes to church every day. Just lives in church. He lives in you. You're his church. You are the church of the living God. You're his church. You are the tabernacle that God dwells in. You are the church of the living God yourself. And if living God lives in his living being, then your action is of God. See all them? You see the big if there? If he lives in you, not the carnal you. If he lives in you, then your action is of God. If it isn't, then God isn't in there. See, many times he said, a woman can't put on a pair of shorts and say she's a Christian. That's what he's talking about right here. When he says in the word here, his blueprint, don't do it, and you go do it, see, that's wrong. When you deny it, then that shows the life isn't even in you. And so it also shows that if you can accept it, it has to be the life in you accepting it. You see that? Amen. I don't know about you, but Brother Branham said a long time ago in the message that when he created man, God created man, he did not create man to fend for himself. You look at all the animals out here. He provides for them. Even in the state that the world is in, he still provides for them. And he said he meant to provide for man too, and man went his way like he did. So this looks like to me, he's showing us how he's going to be our provider. Don't do it, and you go do it. See, that's wrong. When you deny it, then that shows the life isn't even in you. See, that's right. And faith led Moses to the path of obedience. So where did Moses get faith in himself? Where did that come from? Moses was predestinated, wasn't he? Just like everyone God's children are predestinated. All right, let's keep listening. There is young Pharaoh, there's young Moses, both of them with opportunity. Moses seen the reproach of the people and counted it greater treasures than all of Egypt had. This is, you think about this. He can be a king right along with Pharaoh and have everything that Pharaoh's got. But because those words of his mother and his father that he heard, that prophecy, that who he was supposed to be, for some reason he believed that. He believed that they're born a sinner just like every one of us, but for some reason he believed that.
Amen.
Faith, those words were striking that predestinated seed.
Amen.
And creating faith. It was bringing forth the eternal God, was still bringing himself forth right through the middle of time and all of this destruction and everything else. There was still God working, bringing it. Faith led Moses by the path of obedience. I got that. And he led by faith. He followed what his faith said in the... Now, you think it was easy to follow what his faith said?
No.
No, we read his life. We've heard Brother Branham talk about him. But he had that faith, and he followed it anyways. God gave him that faith. And he held on to it, and he kept walking in it. His faith said, he followed what his faith said in the word, and it led him to the path of obedience and finally to glory, immortal, never to die, in the presence of God. So following that faith led him into the presence of God. Sight and senses led and glamour led Pharaoh to his death and the destruction of Egypt. See, Pharaoh didn't have nothing to lead him but his carnality, the way he was born. But Moses had predestination.
Yeah.
Look right at it. See, that's what God was bringing to pass, his predestination. There you are. Look at this. You die. Look at that. You live. Now make your choice. That's the same thing that God put before Adam and Eve in the garden, see? By faith, you must make your choice. Brother Branham said God will pull people and they'll brush it off like it was just a funny feeling and go on. But that was God offering them faith.
Yes.
And they wouldn't take it. Now notice, sight led Pharaoh to his death and to destruction of his city. And Moses, with his faith, never did fear Pharaoh. See, he didn't care what Pharaoh said. When he had faith, he didn't care what Pharaoh said. He cared not about Pharaoh, no more than his mother and daddy cared about their threats. When Moses was confirmed to him, and he was that person that was deliver the Egypt or lead Israel out of Egypt, he never cared what Pharaoh said. So once he realized who he was, that faith is what he lived by. See, it produced that not caring and not fearing what anybody said about it, because he realized who he was. I bought Brother Gerald a picture 1 year of an eagle we found up in Gatlinburg. There was a guy in there did photography, and he had a picture of this eagle, and somebody had caught this eagle, and he was looking straight down his nose directly in to your eyes. And down below it, it said, an eagle knows that he's an eagle. And I thought, my goodness, that's so good. And so we bought it, give it to Brother Gerald for his birthday. But that's what Moses knew. Moses knew he was called to this place.
Amen.
It didn't stop him from acting up at times. Not back then, before there was the blood, and before we have the birth that we have nowadays. But Moses, he wasn't scared of him. Amen? You see what I mean? There's no fear in faith. There's no fear in seeing what God sees. That's what he said faith was, right?
Yeah.
Faith sees what God sees. When you see what God sees, there's no fear. See, like Elijah saw, seeing the all the angels there and letting his worker see that. There's no fear in faith. Faith knows about it. Faith, as I always said, it's got great big muscles and hairs on the chest. Faith said, shut up, and everybody shuts up. That's all. I know where I'm at. Sound like Satan's talking to him, and he's talking back. Satan has all these voices he tries to talk to you with. The rest of them say, well, now maybe he does, see? But you got to stand up and show your muscles. You got to stand on what God has showed you is the truth. That's all. Faith does it. Notice, Moses never feared Pharaoh after God had vindicated his call. See, he had confidence now. He knew who he was. And when Moses believed, he was called for that. But when God told him up there, it's so. See, Moses believed he was called for that. But that didn't produce what he... But then when God told him up there, it's so, and come down and showed before Pharaoh and all the rest of them that he was sent, Moses never was scared of Pharaoh after that. So God vindicating his word in your life brings that fearlessness. But you know, the faith that Moses had didn't believe in a so far religion. You know what it means by so far? Take it so far. You know, believe this much, or believe just this much, or just believe this much. Everything that produces a denomination. He said, we're all going. So Pharaoh tried to talk him into taking just a few and go. And he's like, no, we're all going. We're going all the way. That's right. We're going to the promised land. We just don't go out here and make a denomination and stop. See, we're going to do everything God said do. We're not going to take part. We go on through. Amen. I'm going on to the promised land God promised us. And Pharaoh says, well, why not? If you're going to have that kind of religion, I'll tell you what to do. Just you and the elders go worship, see? Just you and the elders go worship. It sounds just like Satan trying to reason with Christ all those years ago. Just you and the elders go worship. Just you and the elders go worship. Because you all can have that kind of religion, but don't get it among the people. You know what Moses said? There won't even be a hoof left behind.
Amen.
We're going all the way. It sounds like somebody who's not scared the least bit of Pharaoh.
Amen.
We're all going. I'm not going unless they go. And as long as I'm here, I'm on your hands. And Pharaoh, after a while, learned that having him on his hands was not a good thing.
Amen.
And I'm not going unless they can go too. And that's all. Oh, what a gallant servant. I want to take them with me. But just because I got it, I sit down and say, well, now, this is all right. No, sir. We want the people too. So just because you got it, see, he's telling you what the Spirit of God is going to act like. Just because you got it, I sit down and say, well, now, this is all right. No, sir. We want the people too. Every one of us is going. Amen. He said, we ain't going to even leave every sheep or anything behind. There's not going to be a hoof left back. We're all going to the promised land. Amen. And now we find Moses here after God had done so much for him and had showed him so many signs and wonders. Now for the next 15 minutes, let's lay this down here and watch real close. And Moses come to the spot. Where did Moses come to? Where God said, through all this stuff that God's done for him now, he's come on the scene for him over and over and over and vindicated to him over and over. Moses, I've called you. I've sent you down there. Every time you go down there, I tell you to do something. I stand behind you. And he said, now, Moses, all that, God revealing his word to him and showing him that he's with him. Moses, come to this place. that God said, I am with you, Moses. Your words is my word. That's what he's telling Moses. I've proved it to you, Moses. See, Moses, I've done it more than one time. I've had you go down, open your mouth, Moses, and I've backed it up when you spoke. Over and over and over, I've done this now, Moses. Now, this is what I'm telling you. You ought to see now that your words are my words. I proved it to you, Moses. Began to cry, what must I do? So, after Moses should know this, he's going, what must I do? Here we see Moses expressingly, fully human nature, always wants God to get behind you and push you into something. You don't want to just take his faith he give you and walk with it. You want him to make it all happen for you. He don't want you to stand on what he's already showed you, what he's already done for you. He's already inspired you and brought you out of the world. And he's already put in your heart that you don't want any part of it anymore. He's done these things over and over. He's healed us over and over. He's opened up the truth in this hour to us over and over. He's trying to tell us that he's with us, that he's in us. But here goes Moses doing that. And so, but here, God had ordained him for the job. All this was happening because God had ordained Moses for this job. It was predestined for him to do this job. And so God was down here bringing that predestination to pass. Right along with Moses' human flesh going, well, what do I do now, Lord? After he's done had him go down and say all these things. And not only that, he'd had him go down and prophesy that these Egyptians that you see before you, they'll be gone. You know, he's done prophesied that. He knows he's done prophesied that. And he still, God wants him to grasp that faith. Take what I've given you. But here God had ordained him for the job, proved that he was with him. And here he is. The circumstance comes up. Remember that, the circumstance comes up, and he begins to cry. What can I do, Lord? What can I do? Now you remember, he'd already prophesied here and said, these Egyptians that you see today, you'll see no more. And then immediately began to cry out, God, what can we do? See, after he'd done a pretty good job in prophesying there, you see, he'd done told them what would happen. God's done told us what would happen. He's done told us the word, the truth. If the word of God was in him, it was in him. And when he was telling him that, it actually came to pass. When he said, what he said was already going to come to pass. What he just prophesied was already going to come to pass. And here he was crying out. Why am I going to do it? Or what am I going to do? That sounds like us sometimes. We say we believe God's this, he believes he's this, he believes he's that, and then we start whining and crying the first time something happens. He's not the first thing that we think of. But he's proven himself he should be the first thing. When he said, what he said was already going to come to pass, and here he was crying out, what am I going to do? Oh, if that ain't human beings, if that isn't me, if that isn't me, see, he'd already proved what you say will happen, I'm with you. He's already proved that to Brother Branham over and over thousands of times. Amen. And here he is, Brother Branham's putting this on him, this message on him. And here a circumstance rose in a moment. What must I do? What must I do, Lord? Hey, Lord, where are you at? Hey, do you hear me? What must I do? And he had already ordained him. He'd already showed Moses that he was the one. He'd already even proved it to him by coming on the scene. and proved and worked everything through Moses. He done it through Moses.
Amen.
And there God, and here God, oh my, fully expressing man wants to rest and let God do the pushing. Amen. And yet, he knew that God had anointed him for this job, to do this. And God had clearly vindicated his claims. It was time for the people to be delivered. God, through his miracles and wonders, had drawn them all together into one group. You follow me? What's he talking about? Who's the prophet of the day? Who's talking to us? He said, God, through his miracles and wonders, had drawn them all together in one group. You follow me? Brought them all together in one group, vindicated his claims. Scripture said so. Here was the sign. Here was the evidence here. Everything that he said. Then he come among them as a prophet. Ever what he said, God honored it. And brother, did we not see the same thing going on? Everything he said, God honored it. Even when I remember reading in those books where they said he would go to the podium and he would say, bring me the 20 worst cases you got in here. And if God don't heal them, then I'm a false prophet. And God healed every one of them.
Amen.
But he also told him, you need to stop doing that. He stood by him. See, he stood by his word. He stood by Elijah's word, even when he told that she-bear, he called that she-bear, cursed the children, and the she-bear come out and attack the children. Brother Bram said God made him pay for that. Create and bring up flies and brought things into existence, and everything that he had promised him, here he done it. But he wanted to wait on thus saith the Lord. Moses got used to that. Thus saith the Lord. He should have known that the very vindication of his call was thus saith the Lord. No, he was thus saith the Lord. That's what he's trying to tell him. His job that he was ordained to was thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
Moses was ordained to the job of thus saith the Lord. Not on his own will, not him do what he wants to, but God just showed him what to do. Directed him what to do, proved behind him what he could, that he would stand with him. Now go do it, Moses. Can you see it? Why did he wait on thus saith the Lord? He was already prophesied. God had honored everything he said, and he called for the job. So why did he have to say, what must I do? There was a need. It was just up to him to speak for it. See? To do what God has told him to do, something gets in the way, there's a need, he just told him to speak for it. God wanted Moses, and God will let you know. Now, I'm going to read it to you here in just a minute. God wanted Moses to put that gift of faith that he had given him to work. Who gave Moses his faith? God gave him his faith. Now he wants him to put it to work. Brother and sister, read all those things back like that. Put those words together with that. It's a beautiful picture. All right. Now, we're going to take this little portion out of Shalom here. And I want you to notice how he's talking about this light of this day pressing the darkness out. And Brother Branham said that, and Brother Branham says that this is for today, that this light has come to press the darkness and separate the darkness and the light. And you know why? He said that he let the Holy Ghost fall on the ones that were false. He let the Holy Ghost fall on the ones that were false. Why did he say he did that? Anybody remember? He said he did that because he would make them manifest. If he let the Holy Ghost fall on his children, on that inner man, those would bring forth the word. Not just signs and wonders, but forth the word. These others would bring forth just signs and wonders and would go against the word. And brother, if that ain't what we're seeing today, I don't know when we're gonna see it. All right. Now the world has come into the church in the name of denomination, the name of some creed, and we're religious and all this and all this, but yet it denies the resurrecting power of Christ to vindicate his word that's promised for this day. They deny it. They say it ain't true. By saying it ain't true, it can't vindicate itself in them. There can only be light through the word of God. We know that God in the beginning said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Vindication of his word that he had spoken. Blackness blacked out. The world got in line with the reflection of the sun to the moon and blacked it out. That's exactly what happened in the natural or in the spiritual. This is what happened in the spiritual. And it happened in the natural, foreshadowing what was happening in the spiritual, and told us exactly what's taking place. Not a maybe. God at the beginning separated the light from the darkness. He has always done that. What does he do? He presses that by the coming light. He presses the darkness to the other side of the earth. By the light, it presses the darkness. Because, brother, when he shines that light bright on that predestinated seed, the world gets up and moves. They don't want to be nowhere around her and that crazy person. So the darkness, God shines that light bright on them, and the darkness all leaves, moves away. And that's exactly what's coming to pass now. That's what came in play back then. And brother, if we can't see the darkness now pressed into people, it's a pitiful sight. Amen. I'm telling you what. The people don't know if they're a girl or a boy. They don't know if they're a girl one day and a boy the next day. It's the craziest out of control chaos I've ever. If it's not, Brother Branham said that the Laodicea was people's rights. And if it isn't people's rights that's gone to chaos, they can just declare whatever they want to that day. Doesn't matter what. Completely detached from reality. And my goodness, it's pressing and it's pressing. And not only are they pressing and being that, but they're turning around and pressing you because you don't agree with it. Pressing back on you. But let me tell you, brother, God is shining the light, and it's going to move the darkness back. It's come a time. The morning star has come out to hail the day coming. Day is coming. And the Holy Spirit showing its light. It's coming a time when the dark light and darkness will have to be separated. They will have to be one from the other. What did he say? He's going to come by and gather up in the combine and burn the chaff. Gather in the seed and burn the chaff. No, I think it's exactly the same thing. Church and its order will take the order of the day. They're going to take whatever carnal mess that they find. And Christ and his light word promise will go in the rapture. And the rapture is a revelation. So they're going to take this light word promise, which is that rapture revelation, and they're going to go in that while the world takes every kind of idea under the sun. That's the only thing that's left for them to do, is to take this light word promise and go in the rapture. Am I misreading that? I don't think so. It's a day today. Is the dawn of a new day. Today is the day of a dawning of a new day for many who are looking for his coming. Well, Sounds like he's pretty clear about the day that's coming. I had another quote up there where Brother Branham in Why Cry Speak says, what a revelation or what a word for today when we're standing at the door of the third pool, the coming of the Lord. That revelation that he was preaching in Why Cry Speak. So we're not missing the point that realizing the word for this hour is what's creating that faith in you. Because that's what shines on that predestination. And if you're a predestinated son of God, it's going to happen. There's no way to stop it. When that word hits it, it's going to take place. All right. I probably lost my place here. What was I on, 61? We all here this afternoon who are Christians believe that Jesus Christ is God's word manifested. Now, this is what I was just saying. We believe he was virgin born. He was the tabernacle in which Almighty God tabernacled in here on earth. Not just a prophet, not just an ordinary man, but God himself manifested in the form of a man. He was Emmanuel, God with us. We believe that with all of our heart. And your life proves whether Jesus is with you or not. See, I skipped a couple paragraphs there, but he's continuing that same thought when he just got through saying that we believe that Jesus Christ is God's word manifested. And then he comes right down here and he says, your life proves whether Jesus is with you or not. Your life shows whether he is occupied here or whether he is still in the heavens or not, whatever you are. The works that I do shall you do also. How would you have Christ in you? And then everybody thinks about the works that you do shall I do also. And everybody thinks about signs and wonders. That's immediately what people think about. This healing and this wonder and stop the storm and all these things. But they failed to see how much of the word he manifested. But he raised from the dead. His faith in that word, God honored it and raised him from the dead. And there's so many things Brother Ram talked about in the last few hours of Jesus' life where he fulfilled that scripture. The works that he did in that day, you'll do the same and more and greater. Brother Ram talked about, you know, creating and other things. But there's word that needs to take place in this day to identify ourselves as Christ. That's what God will do. How could you have Christ in you and then the very spirit in you deny his word? Take up a creed instead. It cannot do it. And now the reverse of that's the same. How can you have Christ in you and not recognize Christ and not grab hold of Christ and not live by his word? There's no way. See, if there's no way for you to deny it, there's no way for you not to get it if you're a son of God. Take up a creed. You can't do it. He would defeat himself by denying his own word. See there? Just because somebody put a wrong interpretation to it, you got a Bible. You can read like anybody else. Be sincere. David said, put him always before your face. Know that when we are meeting this new year, we're meeting it in the power of the resurrection of Christ. Amen. And he is always before me, and I shall not be moved. Amen. Now let's pick up in communion here. And I apologize for having this many quotes. I tried very hard to cut these down, and but Brother Don knows how it is. Same thing in water baptism. We say we believe in Jesus Christ. He saved us from sin and we're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Why we bring disgrace to him? We do the things that's wrong and we'll have to pay for that. And another thing, when we do that, we're trying to profess one thing and do another. We're professing something we don't have. Because if we had it, it would be doing it itself. That's the trouble of us today. I'm saying us, me, and the church that the Lord God has let me speak to in these last hours, that we believe we're in the closing time. We believe that God has given us a message. It's been ordained of God. It's been proven of God. Now, he's talking the same words, just like he's talking to Moses a while ago. You hear what he said? It's been showed of God, proven of God, ordained of God, and we must come to him in reverence and with love and with the purity of heart and mind and soul. Not like the one in the paragraph before that. You know, the hour will soon arise that right among us will be the Holy Spirit and will speak out like it did in Ananias and Sapphira. Remember, see, but not if this is not where we come. That paragraph before that.
Amen.
See, remember, see, the hour is arriving. Now, you just remember that, see, God is going to dwell among his people. That's what he wants to do now. That's what he wants to do now. Makes you feel like Moses and Brother Branham later on in that message talk about how tiny he felt after seeing those things. We can receive the message as saying, now he's going to cut this line really close. Listen to what he says here. We can receive the message as saying, if I was a young man hunting for a wife and I could find a wife and say, she's just perfect. She's a Christian. She's a lady. She's all this. I got confidence. No matter how much confidence, how much I think she's nice, I got to receive her. She's got to receive me, see, upon these vows. You can receive the message that way without actually receiving her. That's what he said. Did I say those? He said, we can receive the message as saying, and he gave us our little the example there. How much I think she's nice. I got to receive her. She's got to receive me, see, upon these vows.
That's right.
Well, it's the same thing we find is the message. Now, brother, this is like one of the last things he's told. This is the last message he preached, communion. Mm-hmm. And he's putting these things in here that's cutting it to the wire.
That's right.
He's got to receive her. She's got to receive me, see, upon these vows. Well, it's the same thing, what I just told you, he says, is the same thing we find is the message. We see it's right. We see God vindicates it's right. It's perfectly right, year after year, year after year. It continues right, continues right. Everything he says happens just exactly the way he said. Now we know it's right, but see, don't do it from an intellectual standpoint. Now I've tried to scream this just as loud as I can scream it multiple times. If you do, you got a second-handed religion.
Amen.
See, we don't want a second-handed religion. You can have the message and it be a second-handed religion. Paul said, the letter killeth and the spirit maketh alive. We live by faith. If you do, you got a second-handed religion. And we don't want a second-handed religion. Something that somebody else has experienced it, and we're living off of their testimony. See that? We can't live off of somebody else's testimony. As I believe it was, Jesus said to Pilate sometime thing, a word I was thinking, and he said there was just a few minutes ago, who told you that? Pilate said something, and he asked Pilate, who told you that? Or was it revealed to you? How did you know these things? In other words, I don't know just what the word is now. It's been a long time since I read it. But how did you know this? What? How? Who revealed this to you about him being the Son of God? So Pilate said something about him being the Son of God, and he was like, who told you that? Did some man tell you that? Did some man tell you that? That don't mean men don't speak for God. That's not what it means. Did some man tell you that? Or, as Jesus said, is it my Father in heaven which has revealed it to you? See, how did you learn it? A second hand? Or is it a perfect revelation from God? Is it that predestination taking place in God after he anoints it and you see it? Is it that, or did somebody else tell you about it? And you just say, oh, yeah. I remember in school, we didn't want to read the whole book they give us in class. And so we'd go get the cheat notes. We'd go get they had the abbreviated book. And I was so sorry that I wouldn't even read the whole abbreviated book. And so you can imagine me trying to answer the questions for the test. I was a fraud, you know, and there was a lot of frauds in there with me, but that doesn't make me, you know, any better. But you can't fake it. You can't have somebody else's experience. Brother Branham said that God don't have grandchildren. And so, and is this communion just something I go up here for in order, saying, well, the rest of them take this, I will too. It's a revelation that I'm a part of him. And I'm a part of you, and I love you, and I love him, and we're taking this together as a symbol of our love to God and our love to and fellowship to one another. Amen. All right, so Brother Ram, let's go back down into, and I'm going to bring, this has got the quote on Joshua, I think. I really wanted to get that one to you. I have heard, but now I see. In that crucial moment, think of the man and the people that I'm acquainted with, God bypassing all the celebrities and everything to give that. He's talking about Sister Hattie and her boys right now. And he's talking about all these famous people that he's come in contact with, and none of them got this. He went right past it to this little woman, Brother Ram said, who didn't make $20 a year hardly. And everything to give a poor little old humble woman, can't hardly sign her own name, and he knowed what she'd asked for. And that was the greatest thing. He knowed what she would ask for. And that was the greatest thing, for her sister is now dead, and her mother and father has to die. The money would have perished, but the souls of her boys is eternal. And that was the hour for them to catch it. That was the hour for them to catch it. See why the prophet's catching it? Because this was the hour for them to catch it. And this was how God was going to bring it to pass. This is why the prophet is catching it. See? And just as soon as I said, I give you your boys in the name of Jesus Christ, there they fell across their mother's lap. How many in here knows that that's the truth? You know? See, there it is. Why? Yes, why? Inspiration.
Amen.
God bringing that predestination to life.
That's right.
That's the only thing God's interested in is his word. Is that right? And when you're born into this world, if you're a Christian, what's the only part of you that's the word? Brother Branham said it's the other William Branham down in there. It's the other you down in there. That's the one he's interested in. And he couldn't, and brother and sister, the difference between the church ages and now is he can only work in part with that then. But now he's come in union with that. There's a new creation now. It's God creating himself, he said. I got... How much I think she's nice. No, I missed. I got off that one. Now, I heard of thee that thou could create squirrels. I heard that of thee that thou could create a ram. But now I see thee with my own eye. The manifestation. How did he see him with his own eyes? How did he see this taking place? It's the manifestation. The vision made visible. Who's bringing that vision to pass? It's God bringing it to pass. When God promised anything, that's what he will do. When he promises it. Don't miss it, brother and sister. But now, I tell you, one of the ones that somebody might jump on the quickest is Joshua had a need, and he just spoke to the sun, and it stopped. And that's exactly what happened. Now, you won't get any argument from me. Brother Bram said that. But let's see how it happened. Notice, when you have a need, perhaps like Joshua, he had a need and never thought of his circumstances. You see what God's coming to. He's coming to this vessel. He's coming to this leader, Joshua, who don't think about the circumstances. He don't reason it out. He's got a need. He spoke it. And it was God. It was God who spoke it. Do you believe the sun stood still? So do I. How did it do it? Don't try to figure it out, but it did it. Joshua did it. Wow. Joshua did it. Brother Bram was asked one time who delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt. Was it Moses or was it God? And Brother Bram said it was God in Moses. That's what I'm trying to get across tonight. Don't try to figure it out, but it did it. Joshua did it and raised his hands in that crucial moment when he had access to God. And that's what happened. He was told to do what he was doing. And he had need of it. And that had opened up the access to God. And that's what happened. It was timely. The Spirit of the living God had seen the need of it and pushed upon Joshua to say it.
Amen. That's right.
The same God seen the need of Abraham. The same God seen the need of confirming his scripture to me. That scripture's true too when Brother Bram spoke the squirrels into existence. That same God seen the need of those two predestinated boys.
Amen.
And that was the moment he proved it and confirmed his word. See, all he's interested in is his word. And if you're part of his word, brother and sister, you just trust him and he will bring his word to pass through you. Whatever he's got for the day, he brings through his people. And whatever he's got for you specifically, he'll bring it through you. See, St. Mark 14, we see a woman believed on him. And she had need and seen he had need for his feet to be washed. And she had only to be inspired to go into action. She just got inspired to do something for him. That was it. She didn't know what she was going to do, but she just went for it anyways. Right down into the middle of them, she knew what they were going to act, the way they were going to act towards her, because she knew who she was. I think this is the prostitute woman who bought the perfume and had it. She went and got that perfume, and she ran down here to do something for him. She had only to be inspired to go into action. Now listen close before we close. She only had to be inspired to go into action because she had already heard about him. She heard that he forgive a woman of her sins, a harlot, and said, which one of you is without sin? Cast the first stone. You think about her. She was in the same situation, and she heard this other woman that he spoke to her this way. Cast the first stone. She'd heard about him, but now she's seen him. She was inspired to serve him. That's the only thing you have to be. Is inspired to serve him. And he does it. You can't be lazy. It's not going to be easy always. Brother Bram said, anybody who tells you that's a flower bed of roses is lying to you. That's the only thing you have to be. Let the Holy Spirit tell you that you're a sinner. Let the Holy Spirit tell you you're wrong. Let the Holy Spirit prove to you by the Scriptures that you're scripturally wrong. And what? Now, what can recognize that? Can that old soul recognize that it's wrong? What is he interested in? Always and forever, he's interested in his word. He's bringing his word to pass. That seed that's in you, he's bringing that to pass. And whatever else he wants to work besides salvation in your life, he's bringing it through that predestination. If you do, let the scripture tell you're scripturally wrong, because it'll only steer through one straight channel of every scripture of God. It won't bypass for nothing. If you do, it'll never do you any good, because the Holy Spirit can inspire it to you, but it's the soul. But if that soul isn't right with God, as we have been through this week, it's no good anyhow. Remember? False anointed ones will rise in the last days, not false Jesuses, false Christ anointed ones, and will deceive the very elected if it were possible. Notice, she had a service to do to him, and she heard of him. Now she's seen him with her eyes. She had a service to do, and she had nothing to do with it. Do it with. So she rushed forward some anyhow to do the service. And God furnished the water and towels to wash his feet. She had heard of a living God all of her life, but now she's seen him with her eyes. She knew it was him, and inspiration struck her. And she said, so she had to go running down there in the middle of all those uppity-up men, knowing what she was. Brother and sister, you see what she's facing. But God is... got her soul, it's on fire. And she's got to do it. She's got to come do it. And so all that, she cast it to the side. She knew it was him, and inspiration struck her. And said, this is the messenger. And the inspiration struck her and told her it was the messenger. This is the messenger. He needed a service, and she had nothing to serve him by. His feet was dirty. She rushed forward anyway and to do him a service because she was inspired to do it. And oh, the backslidden church member, denominational man or woman, can't you see the need of Jesus? Jesus has tonight. If inspiration can only strike you, this is the hour to do it. But she's seen him with her eyes. The others there were even mocking him. They don't believe this message. Frankly, the host pastor, host old Simon, had got him down there to make fun of him. They didn't believe he was a prophet. And so then when it seemed like the devil would had worked it out just right for him to have him to say this, he said in himself, is this man a prophet? Was this man a prophet? If this man was a prophet, he would know that kind of woman that was at his feet. If he was a prophet, see, it wasn't even revealed to him who he was. There couldn't be any inspiration strike him because there was nothing there to strike. But it was struck to her. Her eyes had seen beyond his criticism. She believed he was, see, the word of the prophets. She knowed that this was all the words of the prophets was vindicated in him. She had heard he was on the earth, but now she sees him. Watch what he done, what she done. She's seen the word made flesh, the Messiah, the Emmanuel. When she gave vent to her pulsation of faith, she gave vent to it. You know what it is to give vent to it? Everybody ever messed with a wood fire knows what it is to give vent to it. So if it's burning down low and you give vent to it, it roars up. Well, that's what she done. She turned loose and gave vent to this faith that was being inspired to her. pulsation of faith, of the revelation of who he was in the time that she was living, that he was God's lamb for such sinners as she was. And she went forth to serve his needs without knowing how she would do it. That's the way a genuine healing comes, when it's revealed to you. Now, what did he say? This is the way a genuine healing comes, when it's revealed to you that he was wounded for your transgressions, bruised for your iniquity, and his stripes you are healed. Then it's inspired to you to see his presence here. St. Mark 11, St. Luke 17:30, that he's going to reveal himself in the last days among his people in human flesh, like he did before Sodom. When you see that, something strikes you. The doctor might say the cancer's still there. The patient might say, I don't know how I'm going to walk, but I'm going to walk anyhow. They don't know how it's going to do. She went forward to serve him because inspiration struck her that it was the hour. God's taking care of everything. It's the hour. He's told her it's the hour. He's told her who it is and everything that he is and everything he can do for her. And all she's heard is a couple little things from this person and that person. But it inspired her. She needed a service. He needed a service done to him. And she went forward without anything showing that she could do it. She just went upon her inspiration. See, that's how you come to God. Just by him and pulling you. That's what the scripture says. You can't come unless God pulls you. Watch. God broke up the fountains of the tear glands in her eyes. And the same eyes that had ears that had heard him, the eyes that seen it, broke up with joy. And then that other God-given long hair with them tears flowing down, he furnished her towels with her hair and her tears, and she served his needs, the need of the living God. And she had heard about it, but now she's seen him. She could do him a service. Do you see what's happening? She's given herself. She's identifying him by what she's doing here, by God coming into her heart and making her come and do this and testify this. Jesus didn't get up and go get her and bring her down there. God sent her down there to do this, to identify his son right there, to identify who he was. And that sounds so much like the bride gathered around the throne communing and ministering to her husband. And Brother Bram said that was because she was the manifested word of the day. It sounds just like that. It goes right with it. Then the other God-given hair, she served his needs, the need of the living God. She heard about it, and now she's seen it. She could do him a service. An old sinner, why don't you do likewise as you see the needs now? That he needs you, your service. Now you see the one, he needs your service. Now you see the one who once you heard about in the Bible. You seen him last night come in here and what he done. We see him meeting after meeting, and sometimes we get just as cold and indifferent and say, I know the scripture says it. Oh, I seen it done. See, we have no enthusiasm. It don't seem to strike us right. It don't strike right. There don't seem to be something like it was pouring. Take a match and strike it. If the match hasn't got the sulfur right on the head of the match, it cannot strike. And you can rake and rake and rake, but if some chemical has killed the sulfur on there, it'll not strike. There'll be no light. But if the chemical, the sulfur, strike against the metal, well, it just went there when it strikes. It'll light. And when the genuine vindication of the scriptures of this last day message, and you see the presence of Jesus Christ, you see it. That you had heard what he'd done in his life, and you hear the scriptures say, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And just before the Sodom condition is fired over with the wrath of God, see God return amongst his people, formed in human flesh, and do the same thing that he done. My, it ought to strike our souls to glory. It ought to do something to us. Why? It's dropping on that. Dropping on that predestination and bringing it to pass. Amen. I appreciate y'all sticking with me. Well, I ain't held you as long as I did Sunday, so I did. We did all right. But I wanted to get the other side of that, so you know you have the balance of it, that we trust God. And when he gives us faith, we take that faith and we don't step down about it. We take it and we go. When Samson realized that that bone on the ground was his salvation, he had to reach down and get that bone and start swinging it. God gave him what he needed. He gave Moses the faith he needed. He gave Abraham the faith he needed. He's given us the faith we need. He's put predestination in us. It's God bringing himself to pass. And so I can't think of anything better or any other place I would rather be than in him at this hour, because I'm glad I ain't concerned about how many Democrats lost and how many this one's went in and nothing else, a bunch of nonsense. And I'm so glad that I don't care a thing about it. I see it on the news and I just go right on past it. And even if I look at the news, I most of the time don't even look at the news. It's more like a circus. It's not even news anymore. I mean, they used to be objective, you know, and tell you this is happening and this is the way it's happening. But now they twist and turn it and slide it around and add stuff that don't matter. And this, you can't know anything. The darkness is pressing. And I'm so glad that we're a part of that light. There's nothing better. Let's stand.